Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, creating lifestyles and livelihoods of sustainable prosperity. Universe Spirit offers strategies for tackling humanity's most urgent global challenge, climate destabilization. Go to universespirit.org to find out how you can make a difference in our quest for a prosperous and sustainable future.
It's September 8th, 2015. Can you believe it? And this is Inside Out, the naked truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about life's essential questions, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and a few surprises.
Our show is sponsored by Go Raw. Great food, great for you. You can get it at Costco, Trader Joe's. Now they got it at Safeway. Take advantage of it and be good to yourself and your help. Go Raw.
And go to GoRaw.com to find out where Go Raw can be found in your neighborhood.
And tonight, well, we've got a little ambivalence going here tonight because the subject is a yes and no, Rochelle?
Yes and no.
Oh.
It seems kind of weird.
It does seem kind of weird, doesn't it?
You either say yes or you say no, but I mean, how do you say both?
Well, we're about to find out. I'd like to begin our program by sharing a blog that was written by Andy Rumi, A-N-D-Y-R-U-M-I. The title is, Don't Take Yes for an Answer. Too short. Yep. You want an answer that's got some ongoingness to it. Yes? Yes is great, but it's just over too soon. Way shorter than an orgasm, even, and that's always a good answer. Nope, I wouldn't take yes for an answer. I'd want the answer to be more like whatever you want. Wouldn't that be a good answer? Or, you're never wrong. Wow, that's a dynamite answer. Just count the syllables. That alone qualifies it as an answer for that taking. Or, you get to decide. Now that's a hell of an answer, ain't it? But if you have a short attention span and can get by on answer snacks, then yes is okay. It'll do in a pinch. But one more thing. The reason not to take yes as an answer is because no answer, no matter how good it is, can be taken. After all, the very best answers aren't taken, they're given. In fact, they're shared. That's what makes them expert answers. Think on't, says Andy Rumi.
Very good. Well, yes may not be the best answer, or it may be too short. But if you have yes and no, that's what's the space between yes and no. That's where you get the truth. Yes, or is it no? Or is it something in between?
Well, I think it really depends upon the circumstances.
Yes or no. And no.
Yes, see, and no.
See, it's very hard to say yes and no for me. It's yes or no, but yes and no. This is a mind stumbler.
Well, let's see if we can unstumble our minds just here a little bit before we blow them. We'll have the unstumbling, and then we'll have the blowing of the minds.
I don't want to have my mind blown.
But I'm reminded of this issue about balance. We haven't talked much about balance on this program, but balance is a really critical thing. I'll give you an example. The Arantxa book, which we refer to often because it has so many pages, it's just hard not to have a conversation without having something come up from all those pages. No, seriously, that's really yes and no. I mean, it does have a lot of pages, but it has a lot of wisdom. And there's one section called The Acme of Religious Experience. Now, first of all, so many people have associations with the word religion, and perhaps this way of looking at what is the acme of religious living will be something that you can understand more fully by appreciating what these answers are. So, for example, it says that Yeshua, Jesus, was the acme of religious living because he was perfectly balanced. Now, it wasn't that he was perfect, which to me is very interesting, because we talk about perfection, we expect perfection. But according to the Urantia book, it wasn't about that. It was about being balanced between the contradictions of life. So, for example, he says that you can be forthright, but not in your face. You can be enthusiastic, but not overzealous. All these different ways of navigating our life through the various contradictions and the duality, actually. I think that's the real issue here, is that we're given this apparently dualistic life frame where we go from yes to no and all its other millions of ways in which we go there. And yet the goal is to go right to that place that you were just talking about, which is that place right in the middle. Razor's edge, to me, is another metaphor for it. Talk about the way of nutsoness, and the mishigash of the world is wide, but the way toward truth is narrow because it's an edge that you have to stay perfectly balanced on in order to be, really, ultimately.
Yes and no.
Uh-huh. I knew that title would come back to haunt me.
Now, the yes is that balance is wonderful. And there's a time, too, when we take stands on that razor's edge where we don't flip over. We have to take a stand sometimes, and we have to make a decision to go yes or no. Not yes and no, because the truth is when you have a yes and a no, you also have nothing.
So that's the still point.
The still point is nothingness, yes. And that's a good point in some ways. In other ways, there's good and bad. So the yes and no comes into the good and bad. Can something be good and bad? Can something be yes and no? Can something be dark and light? We may live in a world of duality, but I think that duality is a stepping stone to the oneness.
Well, yes and no. When I think about it, I wonder if it's a stepping stone or if it's a wave in the body of water. We have the 6-month granddaughter, and like most children, extreme contrasts are what keeps her attention. I mean, look at cartoons. There's not a lot of subtlety, for example, in the facial expressions or the movements of cartoon characters, but they're sure rich with color. Just to go on with what you're saying, the apparent duality of the finiteness, we are given that just like a baby is given these very contrasty expressions, or not given, but that's what they pick up on, and we're doing the same thing. But eventually you get beyond that and you get to greater and greater subtlety. For example, in photography, black and white photography in particular, what makes it so interesting is if you can get the gradations, the shades of gray on that continuum between dark and light, that's where the art is. So the art of living, the art of life, the acme of religious experience has to do with living in that balance where you stay focused on the divine will expressing itself through love and simply go off to the right or the left, the yes or no, to pull something into that equation so that it gets richer with experience.
I could say yes and no because that's the title of our show, but I don't know if yes and no is applicable. But I do know that use the acme of religious experience and the acme of religious living. Which is it?
Yes. And no. It's yes because that was the actual title of the section in the Urantia book. And no because that wasn't the other one. wasn't the title, Religious Living, but I think they're the same. As a matter of fact, the Arantxa book makes a very clear point when it says, when you separate religion or spirituality from life and all the activities of life, and that includes everything, all the things the body does, for example, you're short-circuiting one and you're depriving yourself of the other. It's a combined effort. And by the way, a couple of things I wanted to mention about this balance that Yeshua, Jesus, seemed to achieve. For example, he was truly sincere. There was nothing of the hypocrite in him. He was free from affectation. He was always so refreshingly genuine. He never stooped to pretense, and he never resorted to shamming. He lived the truth even as he taught it. He was the truth. So that's a very, very refined level of awareness that we're talking about and alluding to, let alone living.
I can't say yes and no.
Oh, come on.
I can. I mean, I can say it, but is it applicable? I don't know. I know that for me, living my truth is my intention, because speaking it and not living it is a sham. So the only way to be genuine is to speak from my own experiences in life. I mean, I try on things. I try on an idea. For me, it starts with an idea or an intention. And then I try it on. Does it fit me? Can I do this? Can I wear this and look good in it? I mean, does it work for me? And if it does work for me, then I become it. I am it. And then the voice I give to my own experience becomes one with the idea that it started with.
Yes and no.
What's the no on that one?
The no was the part I didn't understand. But the yes was great. I love that.
You don't have to understand. You don't have to understand something for it to be true. That's the truth.
That's not a yes and no?
Well, you don't have to understand something for it to be true. I don't understand a great deal of the magnificent understanding of physics, but I know it's true.
Well, whatever you do, either way, you gotta open up, because unless you're open, you're not gonna find anything out, let alone receive the love.
Hard not to do. My thinking is a measure of how much I need a clue. I'm still flying blind, hoping I might find a way to stop my thinking and open up my mind. I don't see too clearly. I wish you'd show me how. Seeing is believing. I believe I need it now. It comes as no surprise. Not feeling hurts me more. Feelings got me kneeling down, wounded to the core. Not feeling's got its charms. You find out who it harms when your lover soon discovers you can't open up your arms. It's like being in a prison. You lock yourself inside. Limited perspective, even with eyes open wide. Yeah, but I can't walk no more. Through scenes I've seen before, why don't you come to me, bring a key. Just open up the door. Boy, it's love, it's a puzzle, of that there is no doubt. And you can't do nothing with it, man, you sure can't do without. Can't learn your part, you don't know where to start till you quit all your questions. Just open up.
Open up your heart. I think that duality disappears. Thanks to Chris Smither and Collings Guitars, we celebrated the whole possibility of opening up. And tonight we are looking at yes and no. And we've talked a little bit about yes in my blog, about not taking yes for an answer because it's too short. You want your answer, I want my answer to be like eternal. And it turns out my answer is eternal. And this is how I know this. When I was in college, I had a wonderful friend, roommate. And one day I said to him, David, there has to be an answer. I mean, that's the kind of things you think about when you're like 19 years old.
No, most people when they're 19 years old think about how I get laid and how much can I drink.
Yes and no.
I wanted to give you something to really say yes and no for that was concrete and not too abstract.
Thank you. Was I being abstract?
Yes and no.
Speaking of abstract, you know, what?
You have not finished. You said you were in college and you were saying
I said yes, there is the answer. And my response to the answer, I actually shared it with Lord Umbridge. And I wonder if you could come in and join the conversation, Professor Umbridge. I know you would remember what we spoke of in terms of how can you be sure there's an answer. Anyway, talk to us of the answer. Oh, delighted, my boy. Always happy to join you, especially when you're looking at something like the answer. Well, yes and no, come to think of it. Because the answer implies a question. And so you really have to consider what the question is. Now, for those of you who may not be aware of this, the first real question to be asking, if you have any desire to wind up in the zero point, as you would mention, is the question, what is the question? That's a surprise, isn't it? A lot of people overlook that question. There's an assumption that you know the question because you've been set up for that question by your beliefs and your inclinations and perceptions and all that sort of thing. But the reality is you may or may not know the question, and a good sign that you're not asking the proper question is if you're not getting the answer, either yes or no that you don't like. See, the reason there's yes and no is because in a way they're all yes. Even when there's a no, it's an opportunity to discover a new yes in the area that previously had been a no. And then you'll have it validated why the answer is eternal and it's constant. Because yes can always be mined out of any circumstance, even when it's a raspy, blatant no.
Professor Umbridge, I always bow to your marvelous abstract mind, but I don't know that I totally agree with you.
Oh, so you'd be saying yes or no then?
Yes and no, because you said that if you ask the wrong question, if you ask the right question, then you'll know by the answer you receive. And I think that a question has to do with what it is you're looking for.
I actually didn't mean to say what you're saying I said. What I was trying to say is that if you're continuing to get no as an answer to your plight, assuming your plight is a question, then that's when it's a good time to consider you may not be asking the right question. For example, someone might say, where can I find the $10 million? And as you might say, well, what do you need the $10 million for? As for that. And then as we back it down to, well, I need it to get my new house. And so why would you want a new house? Well, I want my new house because I will feel like a more important person for having a $10 million house. And I will have more rooms that I have to keep clean. And I'm a compulsive cleaner. And so you might ask the person, well, so you want something to clean? Well, that doesn't have to cost you anything. Actually, I've got a garbage heap right out here and back. You see, so the question is, where can I be cleaning? And there is the answer.
I can't argue with you, Professor. You're just too wily.
Thank you, Professor. It's always interesting to see what he has to say.
Golly. does.
He didn't talk about it, but he sells Ponders. You know, I just want to remind everybody, and we recommend Ponders for pondering, of course. And also want to remind you that we are so grateful here at Inside Out, The Naked Truth, that we can be with you. And that's possible because of the folks at Go Raw, who are our sponsors and have been for, we've been on since January of 2014.
Right. Which is pretty neat.
So tonight we're looking at, like I said, ambivalence, contradiction, unsurety. We talked a lot about yes, but let's...
January 7th, are you sure it was the 14th, it wasn't 13?
I'm not sure of anything, Rochelle.
So yes and no.
Yes and no.
We don't remember.
Remembering brings up a lot of yes and no.
That's true, it does. Because a memory is almost never true. Because it goes through so many different... It goes through things, the filters. There's a million filters of your memory. And they are influenced by things that came before, after, during, and they get all mixed up in your memory. Like you might have seen something just prior to what you're talking about, and that gets kind of pushed into what you're talking about, but it wasn't really there when it happened. And so memories are not infallible.
But yet they're full of yes and no. Here's a good example.
Well, that's why, because they're not...
I was on time.
No, you were late.
Ah, yes? I remember it well. We dined with friends.
We dined alone.
A tenor sang.
A baritone.
Ah, yes. I remember it well. That dazzling April moon.
There was none that night. And the month was June.
That's right. That's right.
It warms my heart to know that you remember still the way you do.
Ah, yes. I remember it well.
Well, I think we've made our point. Thank you.
Well, she seemed to have a much better memory than he did.
She did. Thank Hermione Gingold.
And what was his name? Come on.
Maurice Chevalier.
Oh, yes.
Speaking of Maurice, oh, Jacques, did you know Maurice Chevalier or any of those folks?
I knew him a little bit. He was very entertaining, as you know, but I am very interested in the conversation that you are having tonight about yes, oui, and no. And I believe if you would say it in French, then it would be clearer. So it's oui or no.
But Jacques, it's not or, it is and.
Oui and no.
Oui.
Oui. Or no.
Not oh no, and no.
But the reality is, as people are engaging in their lives and they are confronting all kinds of opposition, where life is saying no, no, no. For example, you will not be eating tonight. You will be instead freezing your butt off out in the cold because you have no place to live and it is cold and you are hungry and life appears to be saying no, at least to your wants and needs. And that's what gets people thinking and creating. If there was never a no, you wouldn't get creative on finding ways to turn it into a yes, a oui. No?
Oui.
Oui. So that's why it's always ultimately oui. So that's why we go oui, oui. Because even the no is the really is the second oui. Oui, oui. We just take out the end.
Merci.
Ah, there you are.
Just recently, I read this article about Stephen Colbert. You know, Stephen Colbert is taking over the Tonight Show from David Letterman, who retired. For people who like to watch late-night television, that can be very exciting because Stephen Colbert is, well, he's fascinating. He's got a very facile mind. He has been trained as an improvisationalist, which makes it very easy to be in the moment. because that's what you learn as an improvisationalist. This article said, always say yes to every person you're playing with and every situation you find yourself in, and then get creative within that structure. And I loved it because I like taking improvisation and realizing that my life is an improvisation. I don't live by a script. Every moment you improvise. Every moment you have to be open to the moment you're in, to the people you're with, to the situations you're in, and how you react to those situations always can be creative. So that's a yes and a no. Creativity is a yes and a no.
I'll give you an example. The other guy was observing something I was trying to do in a very inept way, and he just got so exasperated. He said, "You are an idiot." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, yeah, but not just any sort of idiot."
Yes and no.
So that was my way of saying yes, yes. We're talking about non-resistance, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
By saying yes, you're engaging with whatever shows up. And the confidence that the improvisizer... Is that
improvisa, it? Improvisa,
improvisa. Oh, I kind of like improvisa.
Improvisa. Well, yes, I can't even say it.
Yes and no.
Improvisationalist.
Anyway, is that you get to totally engage the thing and you get to expand on it. But you have the confidence that there is a place to go and something will show up. And especially something that will be fun for the audience. Because you're out there. Ostensibly, they're paying you to be funny and fun and interesting. Talk about taking a risk, and yet the payoff is extraordinary. Don't we love it when the improvisizer comes up with something that surprises us, engages us, and charms a laugh right out of us?
I like that. I like charms a laugh right out of us, because that's the most fun thing of all. I love to laugh, and I love to have my laugh charmed out of me. How can we talk about yes and no? You wrote a whole blog about yes being too short of an answer. So does that mean no? I want to talk about that space in between yes and no. You want to talk about no?
Well, yes and no.
This space, it's sort of like a tiny little space that goes back and forth between yes and no. And then at any moment it can stop. And then you're in this land where there is no yes and no. You're in the land of the at-one-ment. Because between the yes and the no is nothing or all thing. Because it's all included in that moment. It's everything.
It reminds me of the image of throwing a ball into the air. Assuming that you could throw it up perfectly vertical, which is probably not even possible, but we can imagine it, and the point at which it stops going up and comes back to going down,
mm-hmm.
that place.
It's determined by the thrust of your up.
So you have to have an upward thrust.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Uh-huh.
Upward thrust will determine when it starts to come down.
But I like the sexual innuendo inherent in all these words.
Really? How did you find that?
Well, how did I find it? Okay, I'm going to share a poem that I wrote.
I know, I'm going to get embarrassed.
And
here.
This will be the answer.
It's everything.
It's a poem called Love. It goes like this. I cannot live out of love, for only in love do I know myself. When I join with another, my soul drives forward like the hard, earnest thrust of love's embrace. When I enter love, I come to know myself. For in the eyes of my beloved, whether man, woman, child, or God, I see my soul enhanced, and as my soul beams back to me, it brings with it another, and myself is that much bigger for allowing two inside it.
words I have to say may well be simple, but they're true. Until you give your love, there's nothing more that we can do. Love is the opening door. Love is what we came here for. No one could offer you more. Do you know what I mean? Have your eyes really seen? You say it's very hard to leave behind the life we knew. But there's no other way, and now it's really up to you. Love is the key we must turn. Truth is the flame we must burn. Freedom the lesson we must learn. Do you know what I mean? Have your eyes really seen?
Thank you, Elton John. That was the love song. It takes us way back, doesn't it, Rochelle? When did he make that, in the 70s?
Probably.
But it's still, for me, a lovely tune that pretty well says it. Open the door and let love in. While he was singing that, I was reminded of what to me is kind of the definitive yes and no statement. It's that passage that's in the Bible where the person says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Now that to me is saying yes and no. I believe, but there's this part of me that has nagging doubts and questions and finds it hard to believe. I remember giving a talk on the Arantia book over 40 years ago for essentially an intellectual discussion group in Berkeley. And my faith was real strong at that time and hadn't gone through some of the trials and tests, which makes it a opportunity. But we were just talking about, I'm sorry, there was a giant bull turtle coming at the house.
Shooting, we have bull turtles here. We have raccoons. And we have skunks and we have lots of other critters.
But back to the issue, and that is fundamentally, can you trust? Can you go that step out beyond all the doubt, which goes with, from the phrase, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. That's the no, the doubt. And supposedly, doubt is the only battle that someone who has set off on this journey to realize who you are in relationship to ultimate essence. Is doubt coming my way? Can I trust that this journey, A, will even provide anything, and B, that I even know what the heck why would I even have chosen this path? So what do you say to that?
Well, I don't know about yes and no, because I'm not sure about anything you just said. Not anything. But it did remind me of something that happened today. We have a person here at Lupin who's rather new to Lupin and very lovely person. This other person who's been here a while was jokingly saying, well, you seem too perfect. You know, there must be something wrong with you. You're too good. And today this person came in and he said, he ran through a red light. But the cop who stopped him felt he was genuine and he was, you know, he really was a nice person. And he let him off with a warning, don't do that ever again. And he liked his smile. So he said, well, that can't be an imperfection because you didn't get even cited for it. In fact, if anything, it proved that you were more perfect. Everyone was going on. So he said, well, what can I do to have my imperfection? Jokingly. And I said to him, your perfection is your imperfection. Because who's perfect? You're perfect, then that's your imperfection.
Yes and no.
Well, anyway, that's to me what it is. Is this sense of like, I think I've got it all covered, and I discover I don't. I think I know something and discover I don't. I think I'm perfect, and it's scary, because then what if I make a mistake? And my perfection is undermined by my humanness. So I think that yes and no is our humanness. We're in a state of positivity and we're in a state of negativity. And sometimes we take the positivity and circle the negativity and turn it into positivity. And the other is just as much true. We take a negative feeling, a toxic feeling, and put our arms around a positive feeling. And all of a sudden the positive feeling melts away and we're in this gloom. But neither of them are real. They're just passing moments, the yeses and the noes. So there is yes and no because it's who we are in our humanness. At the same time, for me, I like getting to the in-between.
Well, yes and no. Oh, hi, Rabbi Greenberg. You want to jump in? Yes and no. I have other things I could be doing, but yes, I'll jump in because it's always an interesting conversation you're having about things, and now you're talking yes and no, and go, don't go, stop, move back and forth, yes and no. I was thinking about the whole discovery that Einstein, you know, he was like a third cousin to me. We had Einsteins on the one side of the family, and I think he was like over there somewhere inside of the family. I'd like to think that Einstein was a relative because he invented the theory of relativity. I think that it's great. So if you think about it, though, what does that mean? Relativity, I believe, is another version of yes and no. It's relative. And so that's why I'm happy that he is actually a relative, because it helps me understand what he's talking, because you've got this energy here, and then you've got the mass, and the energy is in the mass, and you can go outside the mass, and it's a swimming energy. And that's why it makes great bombs. It can be released. Oy, it's a terrible thing to release it that way. Or it can work in a nuclear reactor system and give you lights into a house. But that's the yes and no. You see, you always got the opportunity to go too far to the no, and something becomes destructive, or it can be constructive. And the challenge of living, my dear, is to find a constructive way so it benefits more people more of the time. And the other side of it is not to worry. Sometimes the no is just worrying. Yes, no. Ooh.
Yes and no. Yes, I agree with you.
Anyway, that's all I have to say about that. But I always enjoy being here with you all, and you're talking my language. I love it.
We are talking your language. Absolutely. And I will go back to saying that yes and no defines our humanness.
Let's take a look at just how mad all that can be, all right? With the yes and no going on. on carrying on out there.
All around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces, bright and early for the daily races, going nowhere, going nowhere. The tears are filling up their glasses, no expression, no expression. Hide my head, I wanna drown my sorrow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad.
With Michael Andrews. To me, that was a very yes and no song. Like the chorus, he says, I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. There's a yes and no. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. That's a wonderful contradiction in the apparent dichotomy.
What's the name of that song?
Mad World.
See? It's all about being human. When you talked about a circle.
When people run in circles.
I felt it was much more accurate than moving from pole to pole, that we go around, that there's a sense of circularness in our thinking even. So you can go through yes and no. You know, that yes and no can exist, but in a circle you can go through it.
Well, yes and no.
For me, you can, though. I want it to be a yes. I think I have a hard time being told no.
Speaking of hard time being told no, I think a lot of us have a hard time saying no, setting boundaries, which brings up a whole other issue. There was a book I read many years ago. The title was something like, You Don't Have to Feel Guilty When You Say No. I believe that a lot of the sloshiness of the world in terms of its having trouble with itself.
I feel sorry for that person not understanding guilt.
But wait a minute.
Go ahead.
I'm going to lose my thought. You're always saying when you lose your thought, when right. You get interrupted.
I know. Well, you darling, do too now.
Well, yeah, just get to a bad place.
Sorry. I'll try not to do that anymore.
Okay, it'll come back.
Yes and no.
Maybe not.
It'll never come back.
Yes and no.
Maybe not.
But that's the value and a good example of yes and no, which is the fact that this tape is edited and replayed and is available on our website, actually at bbsradio.com/insightout. I recommend listening to the edited version. First of all,
we edit Errol out.
Basically, we edit me out. And the entire thing is in Swahili. I tell Rochelle that I love making her even more articulate.
Oh, isn't he sweet?
Yes and no.
No. That was true.
Yes, we have a genuine yes and no tonight.
It's hard listening to ideas that I feel are true. When you speak them, they don't become yes and no's. To me, they become yeses. So it's really nice when you speak other things. Everything you speak is your truth, but when you speak your experience, for me, it can be a yes and no.
You just gave me an idea because you said something and then you said you know. And that's a common phrase that is often used in conversation. And I'm just wondering if we could amplify that, add to that. So I'll say something like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now I'm going to say something like, yes, you know, blah, blah, blah. Instead of just, you know, it's you, yes. That's what it is. I couldn't quite come up with it.
You, yes?
You, yes, you know, you, yes.
If you have to have that many words, it's not going to work.
Here I am trying to foreshorten something, and it's ending up being mostly no.
Well, you can't foreshorten it. It's already that way.
No, I didn't want to foreshorten it. I wanted to add something to it. I'm actually lengthening it. You know? Yeah, yes? You know what I'm talking about? Forget it. It was never a good idea.
I don't think it's going to catch on.
No. It was a universe saying no, but through comedy and through appealing to the patheticness of that particular
But they'll let you say it, so that's a yes.
There it is. Yes and no.
Right. Because you've been given permission to say it, even though nobody agrees.
Right.
I like that. That was fun.
Well, one of the things I want to share with you all tonight is the level of gratitude that I experience in being able to share with Rochelle and share with you here on Inside Out, and the discoveries we make and the surprises we encounter and the beauty. So thank you. That was Alanis Morissette. Thank you. Talk about yes and no contradictions. As she says, thank you, India. Thank you, terror. Thank you, disillusionment. Thank you, frailty. Thank you, consequence. Thank you, silence.
And I say, thank you for this yes and no world.
Well, yes and no. See, sometimes the world can really bug you, especially when it pushes your buttons. So at that level, the yes is not as strong as the no, because you want to kind of get away from something that's pushing on you.
And you want to get to the yes. And when you have the yes, aren't those both there in the world that you live in?
But that goes back to what you were talking about with Stephen Colbert, saying you say yes to it, whatever shows up. I remember one of the greatest breakthroughs I had in my life, and I won't go into the story, but I was confronting a situation that was, well, terrifying. And it kept getting worse and worse and worse from there. And I kept resisting. My resistance building up till the situation got so bad that I just threw up my hands. And I saw that, hey, it's just a problem to solve. I don't have to bring all this fear into it. Wasn't required. And from that point on, I said yes to it and just said, okay, this is my job, making this very expensive problem go away. And I did. It took me several years to complete it, but I had a lot of lessons to learn in the interim, for which I'm grateful, even though at the time, I probably would have said no to the lesson opportunity.
Well, I would say that's probably true. But the very fact that we can oscillate has to do with the fact that the world spins, I think. And we spin. And when you spin, you move around things. And you move around and around. And if you think of
spiral.
A spiral, it's going around, but it's also moving in directions. It can move this way and that way. It's changing. It doesn't stay the same. It goes through yeses and it goes through noes, like they're little tunnels.
Well, yes and no. Because there's another perspective.
I only want you to say yes to
okay,
me.
Yes. This is a complete yes. Yes to that.
Because I'm negating no.
If we imagine that the actual substance of the universe is more about quality than quantity. See, right now in our immature stage of development, it's all about quantity. How much you make, how much this, numbers.
Well, Western civilization.
Okay, a large chunk of the world. But what if, for example, apparently empty space is only empty because it's chock full of the essential qualities of existence, but quality of existence isn't measurable. And until we get past the state where something doesn't have value unless it's measured, then we won't appreciate that expansiveness that's available to us all the time.
Yes and no. If you think of quality as something abstract, you can't measure it. But if you think of quality as material, like the quality of chocolate or the quality of wine, of gold, of a diamond, that's measurable. So what I'm saying is what we can't measure is the abstract quality, the quality of goodness, let's say. I mean, how much goodness can you possibly have?
That's a good question. It makes me want to go yes and no, but I'm going to have to say yes to it's time for us to go, which
wow.
Was kind of a little inadvertent rhyme. But we've been so happy to be with you. Check us out again, Inside Out. Send us an email, estrider@gmail.com. Go to our website, thelaughingheart.org. And finally, for our last consideration.
Remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Yes and no. Oui ou non.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for Humanity, Climate Restabilization Plan, and the Evolutionary Principles for a sustainable prosperity. Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.